Today's topic discussion. What really is Oz's super for?
Can that be it?
Yeah!
Fuck's sake!
Let's do it!
Let's take the ball once!
Yeah.
Why not?
Fuck it! Let's do it!
I've got an opinion on this, I can weigh it.
We're live! Watching all the anime! Redcaster! Joe Raven!
Equipment Wielder! Bluecaster! Ishida Zazeel!
Respecting the source material! Greencaster! Denshi!
Actually White! Blackcaster!
Ransack!
Loyal and Loud!
Pinkcaster! Lightred!
Broadcasting loud and opinionated perspectives across the internet!
Radio Sentai! Cast Ranger! On air!
Welcome to Cast Ranger episode 13. So, today we are talking about Gaim episode 33 and Tokyuger 16. So, we're gonna move right into Gaim.
Kamen Rider Gaim!
And today we're going in normal Ranger order. However, our good friend Mr. Silvercaster Overkill is once again respawning, so he will not be joining us today. So, Mr. Redcaster, start us off with your thoughts on Gaim.
Well, generally good episode, this one. You see, what's his name, the Green Overlord. I can never remember.
Redway.
Redway, okay. You see Redway.
The green one is Redway.
Deck green guy. Yeah.
The not dead one.
Yeah, the not red. Not
yeah, the not red one.
Not dead Mushu.
Redway's here to carry out some Red Dead Redemption.
Indeed. But yeah, you get to see more of his plan and see what he's up to.
Yeah.
Which is more of a, yeah, screw everybody else, I'm taking over.
Yeah, and at least
he's very much Monster Michi.
And true to form, Michi's his second in command.
Yeah.
At the very least, he doesn't want to genocide all of humanity. He's got the right idea.
I don't want to rule over an empty fucking world. Fuck that.
If he wanted that, he would have tried to rule over
the
world.
To quote Joker from Dark Knight, kill you!
I can't have newly formed monster hoes bring me, like, food and drink and stuff like that if they're all genocided as fuck.
Yeah!
Genocided!
I want to torture all of you, rape your women.
Genocide is now over.
Gonna turn your women into monsters that I can breed with, and I'm just gonna propagate my own.
Can I just quickly mention, while he's talking, you just see him walking over to a laptop, just trying to figure out how the fuck the thing works, pulls on, like, the charge cord, and just flaps down, fuck it, I don't care anymore.
I twitched a little, I'm like, leave it alone, you don't know what it does!
Can I just go on record by saying that Redway's entire arc is now in my head entitled Redway's Quest for Bitches?
Yeah.
What? He never explicitly states it, of course, however, I can tell that he's totally just working to get to the throne where just bitches are gonna be bringing him shit, and he's just gonna be like,
God.
Yeah, I got monster bitches,
If that turns out to be his motivation, I quit.
He's looking to play the Game of Thrones, yo.
Well, everyone is!
The Gaim of Thrones.
Yes, we've done that joke to death.
That
I
joke
know, and I'm going
really
to continue
entirely.
To do it!
We George R.R. Martin that joke.
Yeah. Anyways.
Bravo.
Bravo! Yeah, anyways, we get to see that. Michi pulls his usual shtick now. He's now officially evil.
Yeah, I'll comment on that.
Yeah.
Officially just, evil?
Well, he always kind of was, and then he pulled. Now he's like classic Toku evil. Exactly.
Plus he's like Kota
he
still
did that.
I know!
Stupid and gullible.
It's like, why is he gonna keep getting stronger?
That dreaded Kota always in my way. I must stop him from interrupting my nefarious plans
for world domination. I did think it was funny that Michi
is
left completely in the dark as to why Kota keeps getting new powers. I feel like if he knew Sagara was influencing him since the Jinba forms, he would, you know, change his target.
He'd just try to kill Sagara.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be successful at all.
Absolutely not. And then we'd get to see what Sagara is, because he would fuck Michi up.
Oh, yeah.
But he would ironically turn him into a Loxie.
He wouldn't. He wouldn't even transform into
Michi,
anything.
I'm going to grab you by the head, and I'm just going to lock seed.
Michi arms!
I just come hold down, on, just you, blank stare at me.
I'm just going to need you to just hold still for 1 second, and there we go. Nice.
And Lockseed. Anyways.
And quickly.
But anyways, Jesus. I think for me, one of the things I did kind of pick out of the episode, it's something, it's in relation to something we talked about, I think, in the last episode.
Yeah.
That thing where Coda's losing his sense of taste.
Pretty much losing his humanity.
It's that first step in the, he's turning into something else.
You want to know what? I'd already talked to Ichi about this. We were saying the same thing. Where have I seen that before? Relatively recently.
Yeah.
Didn't Eiji lose his sense of taste?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's just the thing in that stuff. That's one of the first things to go. Hey, I'm no longer really human. I can't taste anything anymore. It's so bland.
While I'm not surprised, I have to say that I am disappointed we are going down that route again where he's slowly becoming a monster.
I was right!
Well, you can talk in king form! Yeah. Which I'm totally okay with!
I don't see that.
It's his ultimate form slowly turning him into the things he's fighting.
Because, no, if they not adapt, exactly the first if they time adapt with Kiwami no with the same way King Form was, where King Form never fucking lost because it's broken as shit, then I'll
but
be happy
the flip
if
side,
Kiwami just never loses.
And on the flip side of that, he was slowly becoming the Joker.
Yep. Yep. But, anyways, yeah, no, that was the big thing I picked
sorry
up.
Sorry if I spoiled the Blade ending for anyone.
Yeah, fuck you, Adrian. Go watch Blade. Good series.
Do it!
I still haven't watched Blade.
Oh, shit, sorry.
That thing
that's
where
the best one!
Yeah, but guess what? I already been spoiled, and I'd already seen that final fight anyway.
Okay,
so
well
like,
then fuck you!
They even spoiled the shit out of Kuga for me, so I'm like, okay.
Well, not much, actually, not much to spoil. You played Batride. You've seen the end.
The second episode that never happened.
The second last episode that didn't happen.
Yeah. By the way, for anyone listening, I may have mentioned this before, but we are getting a copy of Batride War 2 at the end of this month, so look for more videos on the Ixie Studios channel in the next month.
Or we could live stream again like we did with the last one.
If we get enough audience, sure. Anyone listening, if you want to see us stream Batride War 2, send us a comment or tweet at us or whatever.
That was fun.
Yeah,
that was
fun. But anyways, yeah, no, that was just my thing with the episode. Just Coda, yep, we were right. That theory from last week's just showing up already.
Yeah. All right, so first thing I noticed is, hey, look, the actor for Ryoma Sengoku didn't bail. He's still around, and he's, you know, hiding in the Digiworld.
He's just a hologram.
He just took a vacation for a couple weeks.
You know
weeks.
Where he is? He's in the rabbit hutch on the moon.
I thought you were going to say he's in the hearts of every child.
No, he's in the underworld.
He's chilling with Devimon.
These are all such good theories!
Did it come right?
He's just like, he's just in the rabbit hutch all of a sudden, just Kentaro comes in with Kenga. What the fuck are you doing in here?
And then Ryoma shoves him into. Shut up. And then Ryoma just ejects him into space, and it's finally done with.
Into space.
So yeah, Michi continues to be interesting, in my opinion, as. Now he's apparently decided that ruling the Earth by proxy at Redue's side is, quote-unquote, a good deal.
Yeah.
So we pretty much reached what Michi's endgame is becoming. Like, what he's been striving towards has never been absolutely clear, but now he's kind of come to a decision where it's like, I guess if these guys are going to take over the world, I might as well be number two. He always has talked about wanting influence more than actual power. Mm. I'm sorry, Kevin's just like licking a Tasha Doru figure we've got in here.
We'll
talk about why
it now belongs to him.
We'll talk licking things to claim them as your own.
Sticky.
We'll talk about why in a little bit. Stick around. I did it.
Hey, we're back.
We're gonna talk about why
they already heard that discussion.
Yeah. One of the interesting things for me was seeing Bravo actually be relevant to the plot for once. You know how he...
In a while. For the first time in a while,
for the first time in over 20 episodes.
For the first time in forever.
Damn it.
Yeah, I actually kind of figured out that he was going to point it up that, you know, Michi as Zangetsu is not Takatora because he doesn't fight as gracefully as Takatora does. And one side of me is just going, really? You fucking picked up on that? Come on. And the other side of me is just going, yeah, that's totally within his character.
Yeah.
So, Bravo is the reason we will get Michi's scheming bullshit unearthed. I think that's hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, more Kiwami arms action, and he starts fucking dual-wielding a bunch of weapons.
Dual-wielding Sonic arrows, good god!
He dual-wields Sonic arrows, he dual-wields fucking, I don't even remember which other ones he did, but...
Kagematsu.
Yeah.
No, my favorite one was just, he uses the Melon Defender to like a blast, takes fucking Gridon's hammer, just...
The dunk
out. Oh!
I feel like Urobuchi was just like, can we just have him dual wield spears?
No, but it's
not. It's like it's not the first time somebody in one of my shows has done that either.
He's looking at it. It's Kurikage's spear, and then the other one he's wielding is Shin Kurikage.
Yeah, I didn't notice that.
I looked at it and I was like, wait, is that like panned over it again? Yep,
that's Shin Kagematsu.
That's the only defining feature between regular and Shin.
See,
also the belt. I guess.
If I used Gridon's hammer, I wouldn't just use it to whack. I'd just chuck it at people's heads.
It's called the Donkach.
Kona kicked it.
Move. Yeah, he kicked it. Yes, okay, but he kicked it into a guy's head, and I'm like, so that's pretty much the equivalent of if I just like. Flicked an acorn into the head or something like that. It would hurt a lot.
But yeah, it's called the Donkachi.
Whatever. Or core metal.
Gridon's hammer.
Yeah, or core metal. finally, the one thing I really noticed about Michi was that he's kind of, you know, officially become a villain because he did the evil laugh at the end of the episode.
Yeah, as me and Paul already pointed out.
And then in the preview, you just see him on the ground just...
Even more evil laughing.
I'm like,
I will destroy you, Kota.
And he's still.
What do you stand for?
Have you guys noticed that it's the summertime and he's still wearing a sweater?
Yeah.
Christmas sweater of evil.
Yeah.
Evil Christmas sweater.
Of doom.
It never makes you hotter. It just keeps you at room temperature.
No.
It reminds you of.
Makes him grumpier.
I am in a Christmas sweater. It reminds me of Christmas, therefore I'm thinking of the cold.
I've got it! No, I've got it!
He's
I've
the
got
Grinch!
It. No, I've got it. In order to fuel his evil desires and feelings, he has decided to wear the sweaters that encompass the feeling of getting a shitty sweater from your parents instead of an NCT.
Okay.
Oh my god.
Mine's better and less complicated. He is so evil and his heart is so cold, he needs a sweater to stay alive.
You win the...
My god, you win. And Paul just... At all times!
Oh wow, that was loud. I'm sorry.
Getting a sweater sucks for Christmas, and I think he's trying to be like, no, I'm just gonna wear the shitty sweater that you got.
I will get really
good now. No, you know how evil Michi is? He's like, you thought it was Takatora, but it was I! Michi! He's now officially Dio Brando.
I think I'm just gonna call this episode "You're a Mean One, Michi."
Damn it!
You disguise as your brother and try to kill your best friend.
No, Mr. Meech.
Sure, there you go, Mr.
Lockseed's a fucking grape, Mr. Meech.
Your lockseeds are a grape and a kiwi. I bet you feel inferior.
Okay, we need to make that a song. We need to write "You're a Mean One, Mr. Michi." Can we do that?
Oh, sure.
That'll be an EC Studios
Cast
Christmas
Ranger
song.
Christmas.
Cast Ranger Christmas
in July.
Expect a Cast Ranger Christmas album
in the summer.
Yep. No. Yes.
Christmas in July-er.
Yep.
Damn it!
Woo!
We're doing it!
Yes!
Nailed it!
We're playing the fuse!
Damn it. That means we have to create a fucking album in a week!
2 weeks.
No, self-imposed 90s movie limitation.
I'll get on the phone!
Here comes Sucker Rock, here comes Sucker Rock in Zoami City, bringing luck seats to the... I don't know. Yeah, here comes Sagra.
Here comes Sagra.
We're doing this!
Here comes the fruit, ding-dong-ding-dong, silver apples.
Jeez, crap.
I got it.
Seriously though, get Brent on the phone.
No, I got it. We do shots of the movie writers.
Silver and gold. Silver and gold.
Damn it.
Okay, this has gone too long.
My turn.
Paul, go.
Okay.
Gracefully too.
It's my turn. And okay. So
is it
for
though?
Digital Anti-Death Clock Council of Doom, they had a French guy, a Chinese guy, and a English guy.
It's the World Security Council.
And they all walk into a bar, but they don't really. And
they log on to the bar.
Yeah. They're all sitting there, and they're just, like, griping about this whole situation with Yggdrasil, which is being played up as a pharmaceutical company right now. We'll get to that, because that's interesting. But suddenly Ryoma shows up as a magical hologram, and he's just like, hey guys, what's up? And everybody's overacting like shit.
Rabble,
what the fuck are you doing here? Rabble, how are you going to take responsibility for this? These actors, I feel like they just got tourists off the street and just said, you won't be incoming, Raider! And they're just like,
you'll be big president of your country!
Yes. You can play. I'm not gonna do the Japanese stereotypical accent because that's racist.
Yeah. I just have a question. Was that supposed to be like the French president or something?
I think so.
The guy sounded and looked a lot more like the actual British prime minister.
And the British prime minister sounded a lot more like he had a different accent than
he
British.
He sounded slightly Australian.
The French guy sounded like really British and looked like the British PM.
That's what it was.
The British guy was Australian.
They got an Aussie to play a Brit.
It was a cheaper flight.
And a Brit to play a Frenchman.
I thought it was New Zealand.
I'm like, they got an Australian to play the British.
Oh, Pucci, what the fuck?
No.
He's not cast.
No. They got
writing it.
They got the Australian guy to play the British Prime Minister. Why? Cheaper flight.
But they got a British guy to play the French guy.
Yeah, I don't know
if he's British.
He might sound. He has.
He sounded. British. And he's
he
British.
Actually.
Like, that guy needed to be the British guy just because he actually looks like the British.
Both
Prime
of them
Minister.
Had British undertones. One sounded genuine. One sounded fake. And the one that was supposed to be British was the one that sounded fake.
You know what was funnier about them? The fact that every time a different one talked, they each like slid in front of each other in the hologram world.
And then just fucking, but just to keep going, and then Ryoma just goes, yeah, I just emailed your plans to everyone in the world, bye! And they're just like, what? No! And then everybody just flips
technically
out.
What he did, and this was supposed to be Lane's point.
Well,
but
then let me talk about it.
Okay.
Okay. Well, so Ryoma's just like, they get all Funkles and they're like, huh, what the hell's going on? And Ryoma's just like, by the way, I revealed Project Arcs in the entire world, so I'm like, great, so now you're sending the entire world in panic by revealing, hey, the entire world's about to be, like, taken over by this giant forest, but we have these belts that you can use to protect you. We only have 1 billion. Have fun!
Or does he?
I have a feeling that the message went something like this. So, hi, everyone. This is Yggdrasil, your trusted pharmaceutical company / city planner. The city's about to be invaded by monsters from another dimension through, you know, spatial rips that look like zippers. So, after a long and serious debate, here's what we decided. We're gonna, like, take the 1 billion of the planet that are, you know, the coolest, and give them these cool belts that will, like, you know, let them survive. And then we're gonna take the other 6 billion people, which is most of you guys, and we're gonna kill you so you don't turn into monsters. Doesn't that sound great? I knew you guys would be on board with this. We got you on this. We got you.
Yggdrasil.
Just like, here's your plane ticket. Just come to Zawame, form an orderly line, and we'll stab you.
Yeah,
it's all part of the plan.
Signed, your friend Sengoku Ryoma.
It'll be with Kamen Rider knives.
And that's how they did it.
Yes. No. It'll be like, come to the Zawame is anything. Meet the Armored Riders. Slaughter.
Come for the Armored Riders. Stay for the stabbings.
Red Wedding levels of slaughter.
Except 6 billion.
This all comes to my next point. They used the words global economic collapse. We just entered some post-apocalyptic shit right here, because apparently the world is coming apart at the seams. Like, dogs and cats are living together, murders abound, fucking shit like that, because the
world's because Ryoma shut down Sawami's communication and then told 6 billion people he was gonna kill
him. And blabbed about a global genocide that their trusted pharmaceutical company was playing.
And various government officials.
Yeah. And they didn't do very good in hiding that fact, because normal people would just be like, no, what are you talking about?
Not only bullshit.
No, you fool! It's our only hope!
Not only did we fuck up, but all of your government officials were in on it.
Yup.
And at that point, any sane government official would just stand there and go, anybody actually buying this shit?
I know! It all sounds so fantastical.
Is anybody really buying this shit? I mean, this even sounds like complete bullshit.
And even if people did start noticing Indus showing up and just, like, the whole invasion of monsters thing is true, they could honestly play up the fact that, oh, he's just trying to, like, you know, weaken your belief in your governments. This person has been hiding all this stuff.
He is a terrorist.
He's a terrorist!
You know what? I just had a thought. Let's say for a second that because of all this, that there are Invis, you know, attacking the world.
Yeah.
I'm sensing a rehash of a Digimon 02 plot point where we gather riders from across the world and fight the Invis at different hotspots across the globe.
Oh, dear God.
Yes. But you know what? They even referred to Yggdrasil as terrorists in this episode. They said the terrorist actions of Yggdrasil have led to a global economic collapse. And so I'm just like, wow, that's some pretty crazy
The best part of that scene is they're hearing about this collapse on the news, and everyone's just, like, flipping channels. Fuck everywhere else! Can we get some local news, please?
Yes. And meanwhile, Michi is... And I'm gonna get on my thing on Michi, because I've got this thing about Michi where I kind of feel like maybe there was just a moment during one episode where my brain just sort of wandered for a second. But it felt like one minute he and Kota were really, really great friends, and the next minute, bruh, 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 I hate Kota.
And that moment was exactly the moment where Kota spilled the beans to Mai about
No, I know that, but it feels so disproportionate. It feels as though... Like, I get the fact that they're painting the fact that Michi isn't a genuine person and has never been a genuine person. But I also kind of feel like they're sort of giving him a fall sort of thing. Like, at one point he could have gone either way and he's going along a different path.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to say that the point where his path sort of diverged feels really, really weak.
It's like the other path was like a straight shot, and the path he's gone to was like a violent turn to the right.
It just shows him as a rather inherently stupid character, because he doesn't see the ethical ramifications of keeping that information from her. I mean, that could have, like, really hurt her inside, and then, as it built up, she could have been devastated by it if she found it in a different way.
Well, yeah, in that respect, Michi is incredibly short-sighted, and that is one of his biggest flaws, but this attitude originally came from a good place. His whole inner thought was, keep my happy, keep my smiling, she doesn't need to know.
Yeah, but in the end, that just shows his lack of sensitivity and forethought.
Exactly,
anyway,
and that's why he's a flawed character.
Yeah, he is a flawed character. It's just, if there was any attempt to make him a likable character at any time, it's just, looking back on it, there's really not much to like about him anymore.
Well, based on where he is now, apparently we weren't supposed to like him.
I mean, Michi just threw that freaking peacock thing right in front of the blast to save his own hide, just to make sure that Kota wouldn't find out that he was Michi.
Also, he was wonderfully aware that Redouet was using that just to observe his every move.
Yeah. But even the Overlord was like, you son of a bitch! What the fuck?
Like, we have actually proven that there is no one Michi won't betray.
Yeah!
Betrayed Kota. He betrayed Sid. He betrayed whatever the fuck Chicken Overlord's name is. I forget. Dionko, something like
Michi
that.
Michi Lannister is a fucking little bitch.
Michi Lannister.
Well, yeah,
you know,
Paul's been calling
him
that forever.
I feel like by the end of this series, Urobuchi's final goal is to one-up George R.R. Martin. He wants to pull, like, a little more slaughter than he has in a kid's show.
I kind of hope the final battle turns out to be Kota versus Michi, because it looks like they're hyping that the legit battle between Kota and Michi.
They are foils, yeah.
Like, so. I just like the fact that absolutely no one on, like, the writer collaborative team is wondering, hey, where's Michi? He's a writer. He should be helping us.
That thing where Marika knows about his, you know, being against
yeah.
the majority of this time.
And hasn't said anything to anyone.
And when everybody's asking, I hope Michi's okay, your only response to it is, I'm sure that guy got out of the city. I'm sure he's fine. He got out of here.
And they just buy it.
It's like, you know what? Sure.
I'm pretty sure she's gonna spill it.
Sooner
I
or
hope
later.
She does!
Hell, she's wonderfully aware of the fact that he's using his brother's fucking belt.
They're foreshadowing. Like, this episode has just, like, a lot of the tension in the final act was built around Michi not losing his armor and not being revealed. And even though that has been shown as a thing in the past, it was a lot more tense this time, so I feel like it's really reaching a boiling point.
I feel like they're coming closer and closer to it actually happening. And now that Bravo's pointing it out, hey, this is not him, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen, if not next episode, very soon.
The tone of the show is pointing towards something very big happening with Michi very soon. I can almost guarantee that. I'm just saying.
Speaking of next episode, that shot of Gridon holding a Suica lock seed.
Yup.
That'd be
crazy. It's like, hey, Gridon, use this. Yeah. It'll make you useful for a while.
I'm almost certain that's the
point.
Giant watermelon hammer.
I fucking hope so.
I'm almost certain that's the point. Why does he have that? Here, be useful for a while.
Yeah.
Be a distraction.
I like Gridon.
I love Gridon too.
I know, but they very much repeatedly establish
his useful moments don't last more than 2 minutes.
He shows up, does one useful thing, and then he's useless for the rest of the fight. That is how they have established him the entire show.
I've said this before and I'll say it again. I like Gridon aesthetically.
Yeah.
I feel like...
aesthetically is the only way I don't like Gridon, because that brown is horrid.
See, here's the thing. Gridon in the hands of a weakling looks really, really tottery and looks kind of like, you know, simple and weak. It looks really basic. But in the hands of someone more badass, it's got regal qualities to it. It's got a very sort of domed, almost like regal sort of helmet.
Well, yeah, it's based off a paladin.
Yeah, it's got qualities that are brought out by the person inside of it. And I like that about
it. I just think from an aesthetic standpoint, if that shade of brown was a bit darker, I would like it a bit more.
I understand where you're coming from. It is a little bit too tan for its own good.
Yeah.
But it's nice, and I like it.
It's an acorn. What am I going to do?
Yeah, it's based on the flesh of an acorn. Like, the helmet's based on the top, and the rest of it's the nut.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
Alright.
Anyways.
That's me.
That's your spiel?
Yeah, that's me. Michi's an ass.
Yeah.
Come on.
So yeah, back to that whole point. I don't know if it was ever mentioned in the show, but just kind of, when they dropped it, I was just kind of like, wait, Yggdrasil's a pharmaceutical company?
What do they, like, affiliate with SmartBrain, the home electronics company, said with quotes?
But that's just it, right? It's like, we've always known as they took over the city, they gave everyone jobs, and, you know...
They're the city planners.
Exactly! They also take care of that.
Like, they're very much the Shinra company, where they have a big, huge corporate building, they lead the city, and the mayor is mayor in name only.
Put it to you this way. You have a company that specializes in the care of people. Take a look at the technology that they're using. It's stuff to protect you from the forest at this point, and stuff to help you survive in the forest, and just to... Their belts allow you to draw nourishment. It's a positive, forward-thinking sort of thing that allows you to adapt to what's in there. It's got a very healthcare sort of vibe. So think about it this way. It's a company based on the care of people, developing a community in which they can guarantee homes and care for people with top-notch equipment from a Fortune 500 company.
That's
I'll
fair.
Buy that.
Yeah, I think that's what Suwamis City really was, like, at least the cover is supposed
that's
to be.
That's the cover story.
But, like,
well, that works.
That's how a pharmaceutical company would be in this sort of situation.
Yeah. Also, Kaido's scene with Mai, that was really interesting for me, just because it was like, we've always known that he was slowly but surely drifting back over to the, you know, maybe being alone isn't in our best interest, in my best interest right now.
Yeah.
So it's just weird seeing him, you know, rooting for someone other than number one, you know what I mean? It just doesn't seem like him at all to just kind of be like, no, you keep doing you, kid.
And even you're more awkward that she's falling for it.
Well, I don't know what you mean by falling for it. It's nothing to fall for.
Yeah,
he's
kind
genuine.
Of being no, serious.
I'm, but
it or him.
That is what I meant.
Is more where you were going with that, because I kind of noticed that one, too.
Yeah, huh? That's what I meant.
Where Mai had a little Mai moment is, where she was just, like, half, like, swooning over Kaito there, and then caught herself and stopped herself. Mm-hmm. And then just, oh, wait, Coda. Right, that thing.
But
yes.
Yeah. Like I said, I thought it was interesting to see him being more lovable douchebag and not just an enjoyable one.
Yeah.
Because he's always been cool to watch and, you know, pay attention to because he's always just kind of been a really cool addition to the show. But to watch him actually contribute in the character development front is really a nice change of pace.
Yeah.
And the only thing, I just wanted to bring this up. I thought it was really weird. Because they did, like, a close-up of Zangetsu Shin's head at some point in the episode, and I looked at it, and I was like, wait, what the hell? I paused it. Shin Zangetsu's head looks a lot like Deno liner forms.
My face melon has peeled!
I just noticed that, and I was like, ah!
Well, that's Climax.
God damn it, you're right!
I know.
It's because of the whole thing on the top.
Yeah, that doesn't hurt.
You want to know who looks like Deno liner form? Tokyo Rokugo. It has the exact same head accessory.
You know what it is that saves it, though? Like, it doesn't look bad. Like,
no.
No, it's the color scheme. The color scheme works for it.
It's not even the color scheme for me. I like, with regards to his head, the whole black dashes under, I'm going to call them eyeshadow because that's where they are. That's what sells the helmet for me.
Okay. Yeah, that's all I really had to add to that for Gaim this week.
Okay. Lane, anything else?
Okay, well, I'm going to, like, bring up a couple things because it's, like, my opinions on a few things. I honestly, in this episode, I thought Kaito took most of the attention just because, like, he had a serious moment with Mai. He was pretty much, like, telling her, she's like, oh, I'm not strong enough for anything. No, Mai, dancing's your strength. What makes you strong? Do that. So he was giving her a confidence boost because she was being down and feeling like she was useless, and Kaido was like, no, you're not useless. Do what you do best. And then saw Kraken was like, oh, I gotta go. Bleh. But I'm starting to like Kaido as a character, like, a lot. Like, he's cool. Like, he's a dick, but he's cool.
Which means he's probably gonna die.
Oh, I fucking hope not. If Kaido died, I'd be like, Kaido's gonna fucking, no, he's gonna take a huge hit for Coda and die in Coda's arms or something. I'd be like, for fuck's sake.
And the fangirls will go nuts.
I have a feeling Michi's gonna see Takatora again also, and Michi's gonna actually kill him.
Oh god, if we get a battle between Michi and Takatora, that would be so awesome.
Just go back to Sid just being like, wow, you killed your brother.
That's pretty cool.
I'm liking Kiwami a lot more in terms of appearance. Like, the more I keep seeing it, I'm just like,
I still don't.
You're pretty.
You know what? You know what's really helping it for me? My biggest gripe has been almost sort of like the chest tavern sort of thing. With the
I like
that.
Yeah,
it's been a bother for me up until the point where I started looking it in the eye a little bit more, and I noticed the like almost stained glass sort of blend of colors that make up its visor.
Yep.
And I looked at that and I said, you know what? That blends nicely with the tabard image. I think that can help.
I still think they could have done the whole tabard image better. It's just like fruit, and then the jumbled mess of the rest of them underneath.
But, yeah, like, if when they release...
You know what it is? Huh? Sorry to interrupt you. Kiwami's got melons.
Yes. When the Kiwami figure arts comes out, I'm definitely picking that up. And it's probably going to be, like, the center of my display.
That thing where the arms change figure, or the SH figure, whichever.
Arms change.
It comes with the effect parts of Kachidoki armor blasting off of it.
Which is impressive, because it shows that the arms change is actually doing well, and, like, Bandai's actually putting effort into, like, you know, a not-so-superior, like, an inferior toy line.
I think it's interesting to note that Kiwami Arms is the only actual rider form that is not a straight-up base suit plus fruit armor. It is a whole unique form.
Yeah. It's cool. I liked that also that Coda wasn't a dumbass over, like, you know, he questioned, like, why he should trust Yoko.
Yeah, he's actually getting smarter now.
Yeah, because he walks up to her and it's like, so why did you betray Yggdrasil? And it's like, oh, what do you want to know? It's like, I didn't. It's like, well, I need to trust you, so you need to tell me why. And I'm just like, yeah, Coda's just like, oh, Yuna's helping us, yay! No, he actually questioned, like, her allegiance, and I was like,
maybe because he's come to blows with her enough over the course of the series that it's just like,
if she
causes shit, he can put her in her place.
Oh, yeah. Shotgun in the face.
Although, when they start fighting together, I was kind of hoping he would go Jinba Peach.
No, because that's his
hero. I know, but it would have been funny.
Mm-hmm. Over that, it was a pretty decent episode. I love Kiwami Arms' abilities. It's just, like,
the fact that
he
can
dual-wield shit is just... If he dual-wields Budo Ryuhos, I'm just going to lose my shit. Or even dual-wield DJ guns!
I don't think it works that way.
No?
I think dual-wielding is exclusive to two unique items.
Okay. Yeah, because
the Sonic Arrows come from each of the four energy
groups. Yeah, there were multiples of those.
True.
I guess. That makes sense.
Still, that'd be cool, though.
What's the weapon of Sigurd? What's the weapon of Malika?
Although, technically, Matsubukuri energy wouldn't have been in that bunch of fruits, so...
Well, it was, apparently.
Well, the other energy lock seeds are, so...
Yeah, but...
In the bowels of the...
Someone would have to really pay attention to Fruits Basket.
But you know what? That might have just been a little, maybe like an Easter egg to tease the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so that was just an Easter egg, so you're not supposed to question it, but you're like, oh, that's cool. Cool episode. Looking forward to next week's. Gridon's weak arms. Bring that shit.
Yep. Okay, so that pretty much brings our fruit salad to a close. Moving on to Tokyuger.
Shibachiko!
Reshu Sentai Tokyuger!
Okay, so start us down the line, Mr. Redcaster.
So...
Shorty imagination!
I got nothing for this episode, suck, bye.
Just we all do the pose.
Yeah, well. Okay, just another one of those episodes for this one. Darkliner kidnaps children. They try getting darkness out of children. Pull their usual shtick. Everyone else is going to explain exactly what.
Usual shtick? Nothing of the sort.
Someone lost their imagination. I watched this one!
Yeah! Paul watched it! Yay!
They got it back.
They got it back.
They didn't have it at the beginning of the episode. They got it back.
So this episode is named How Aoi Got Her Groove Back.
Pretty much. there's just that... Okay, so basically, they kidnap children, they bring them onto the train, they hype them up, and then proceed to...
Destroy their...
Dream. Pull wizard again.
They proceed to lock them in a room with a giant monster with a hammer that proceeds to do no sort of physical harm and just...
No, remember what he did last episode? He spawns what they want and then destroys it.
And yet...
He pulls a wizard!
And yet, after the immediate response in the thing, it did absolutely nothing to any of them.
It just spawned the darkness they were using.
All right. Yeah. I know I wasn't here last week, but...
He was essentially standing there just going, "Cry more!"
Literally.
No! No!
Cry!
No! No, they couldn't show this in the show because it's a kid's show, but that guy was walking up and down the rows of that kid just screaming, "You're all adopted and your biological parents were selling their bodies for crack!"
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay, even your father's!
Well, okay, I know I wasn't here last week, but you guys mentioned that, yes, like, the Hammer Shadow is voiced by Brook from One Piece, so I'm like, that's cool.
Yeah.
But honestly, every time, like, you, because throughout the thing, like, you hear, because he's operating the train, so he's, like, the conductor, so you just hear him spouting, like, announcements, like, oh, blah, 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 blah. And every time I just heard him finish an announcement, I just wanted him just go,
I'm sure you can just dub that in.
That's what I want to do. I want to dub that in.
Anyways, but yeah, that they're doing that. So the Tokyugers manage to sneak their way onto the train, except three of them get taken over, apparently, and brainwashed.
Because apparently the reason the other three didn't is when they were getting on, they
when
got
we got on,
unconscious.
We got knocked unconscious, so we're not
brainwashed.
Bullshit!
Am I the only one who's seeing some striking Hansel and Gretel parallels here?
Oh, yeah, fuck. Now they got us like, yeah, we're not...
Well, Cogger's the one who would play Gretel.
Yeah, well, the three of us aren't affected by it right now, so, you know, let's go and do this, and... Oh, we got kicked off the train.
Yes.
Like, sucked out a sunroof vacuum,
but
kicked off.
Okay, so kicked off the train. And this is where I noticed something, and I had a serious issue with this. Did anybody else notice that after getting on that train, and that train taking off to God knows where, after getting ejected from the train, they immediately went back to the park where the kids were kidnapped from? So we went the opposite direction from the Darkliner. Got off the train after traveling for who knows how long on the friggin' train, part of which you were unconscious for,
mm-hmm.
got ejected from the train, and immediately
and then doubled back.
And then took the time to walk back to the fucking thing.
Come on, guys, we gotta get back to Angel Grove. Our teleporters don't work. We gotta run. 20 seconds
we gotta
later.
Take
we're back in Angel Grove, you guys.
You know what?
We gotta take
Raven,
the motorcycles. They're in the toilet.
Fine.
It's
Toku
time.
Does this all the time because they'll be in the middle of a fucking warehouse and then they'll start fighting outside and wind up in a forest.
It's not even that. It's not even random battle scene change. It's let's go back to, you know,
it
the
was
place.
The exact same park the kids were kidnapped.
Imagination!
God, I'm coining
No, Lane. Lack of imagination!
I'm coining a phrase here. It's send time.
Yeah.
Send time!
Yeah. And then I was like, what are we gonna do here? Oh, we gotta get back on that train that we went the opposite direction from for some reason. I know, we can use the police rusher, because that's fast, right? Oh, but she can't get on the train because she has no imagination. Oh, let's do a bullshit montage for a minute where she'll suddenly regain her imagination and see the goddamn police rusher.
No, here's my problem with that. Remember the fact that she actually got on the Kariner earlier by literally hopping a piggyback ride on Kagura?
Yeah.
Why don't they just do that again?
Because
imagination subplot.
Yeah. Well,
because the Darkliners don't require passes.
I was going to bring this up in my section.
Oh, yeah, there's also that.
I was going to bring this up in my points, but I'll just quickly bring this up. So, yes, the Tokyuger's main objective is that they save the world, like, or whatever, like, each station from going into darkness. Is each city from going into darkness. But their kind of secondary objective is also to bring, you know, rekindle people's imaginations who have lost it.
Where necessary.
Where necessary, but, you know.
This is the first time it's ever been necessary. Yeah. And it wasn't even actually, because what the fuck was with the Sentai heroes actually bringing a powerless civilian into the evil train of death?
It's because, hey, guys, we're gonna take on the general right now. You walk in there with the hammer shadow and save the kids while we're doing that.
Yeah, but the two of us, the weakest fighters on the team, are gonna take on fucking mid-boss who swipes his sword once and the entire team is down!
First off, it's because she wanted to rescue her little brother.
That's beside the point.
No, it's not beside the point. That's the reason she went along, because she wanted to make sure her brother was
okay.
They
didn't have to let her.
You know what it is? I have a feel, just from the way she was talking about rescuing her brother, I have a feeling it's less, I have to save my brother, and it's more like, shit, if I don't get him back, I'm in trouble. Like, it was less about him and more about getting her own ass out of the fire.
It was
the
labyrinth.
Yes.
Just the way she talked gave off that feeling to me.
Yeah.
Well, Japanese fucking kids are always, like, little snarky.
Ooh, you really want to go there?
SS
Darth not all of them, but in Toku.
SS Darth Vader is David Bowie, just calling it. Whatever the fuck his
Schwartz.
Name is.
On the topic of Tokusatsu children, Decade, Kiva, and Hibiki. That's all I'm saying.
Greta.
No Greta this episode.
You mean no Jaws?
Well, no anyone, actually.
By the way, everyone who listens to the podcast noticed the thumbnail I made on last week's episode.
Yeah.
It was Jaws. Like, Greta Jaws.
Won't leave my mind.
Wait, Greta Jaws? What?
Remember what the part
where
was
Greta
like,
wrong.
Right.
I made that the thumbnail for last week's cast changer.
It was like Venom's attack in Marvel vs. Capcom.
Yeah! Except it wasn't like a spill, it was just a lunge.
It was Arakune.
Let's go crazy! Let's go crazy!
She wanted Schwartz's Azure.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a Blaze Blue joke.
All right, I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got a Toku.
So, here, my among a sea of problems with this episode, my first was, okay, let's step into the, you know, the evil Kariner train. The train that's, you know, about like, looking at the inside of the Rainbow Line, you can gauge, you know, how big these trains are. But we're going to step into the evil Kariner, the, you know, the dark train. And it looks kind of normal when they first get in. Then they open the door to the next car, and it's a fucking water park!
Yeah?
You just water park.
Because one of the kids was dreaming of it.
And I'm like, oh my...
Hammer space.
God!
Hammer
space. And I'm looking at this water park, and I'm like, are we on the set of the Kyoryuger ending?
No.
Because it looks pretty similar.
I just realized what that reminded me of, and it just hit me right now. Sweet Life of Power Rangers.
Damn it!
Can I just...
No!
I'm gonna re... Oh, in, I'm gonna...
I feel
yeah.
like Mosby is supposed to be on that train.
Fucking Crow's Luau.
Can I just...
Yeah.
My point stands a little better than I thought it did once I said it. Hammer space.
Ha!
The Hammer Shadows Hammer space.
Yes, absolutely. No, I immediately understood that as the reason that didn't stop me from what the fucking at it.
Kevin's reaction to seeing the crows and the
yeah, no, just that whole scene with the fucking crows luau.
And it's
just
got
this
the hats.
This look of just oh. dismay
no,
and
turns
no disappointment.
Kevin just slowly turns his head over to me, just like slowly turning. It just look of disappointment, and I'm like, yeah. And then like I'm like, no, keep looking. He looks
guys.
Back just in time to see them dancing more, and he's like.
Guys,
my phone.
You were my favorite. Why are you doing this?
And testicles, shattered dreams.
Because Sentai mooks. Sentai mooks are always played to be look stupid
I
eventually.
Know.
Yeah, but no. Yeah, but the thing with the hammer shadow and the thing where he does the thing where he pulls the thing out.
You're all a doctor!
So he pulled a water park out of some kid's head.
Yes. No, okay. No, that's one thing, but it's a matter of.
Did the who?
As far as his go. No, he did it to himself. Why is, like, Hammer Shadow's favorite thing in this world fire? Did no one else notice that? He taps himself on the head, and it spawns a fireball, and he knocks it at them. And
yeah.
I was just kind of like, why is his favorite thing in this world fire?
No,
you'd
you
think
know
it
what
would
it
be
might
a
have
nail.
Also been? Maybe it was that, like, it was... Because it's something they wanted, so maybe he wanted a fireball to fire at the Tokugers.
So it's basically Jack Sparrow's compass.
Or
Hammer
Shadow just used to be Ralph Wiggum.
Sure.
I start fire!
Exactly!
No, it's like you'd think a Hammer Shadow's favorite thing would be a nail. So he can nail it. Anyways, last thing about this episode was the fact that, you know, okay, first of all, I have to address the fact, how the fuck did the Rainbow Line receive a package when it's a very mobile thing, A, B, who does it come from? I hope we find this out soon, if at all.
The higher up.
Yeah!
Yeah, they said
what
that.
Is this, SPD?
Yes.
Yes. Yes,
Christ. And C,
Special task train.
No, 5, not yes, Pete.
No,
5.
Do you know who can do you know who the higher ups are? Higher up is Station Master from Deno.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
I accept this as canon.
And above him is Mr. Conductor from
Head
Canon
as fuck.
I swear to God, if we never
Elaine.
We ever see Conductor, Owner, and Station Master all in the same room, goddamn it.
Elaine, good job using your imagination.
Thank you.
Okay, and finally, we end the episode with a shot of the conductor and ticket using the apple changer and the build rush.
Oh, hang on, excuse me one second. Literally, why are you fucking dead?
And I can say from the magazine scans that I've seen that they actually do use it and ticket turns into Toki Rokugo. Oh, yeah. I saw a scan.
Cool.
Ticket is Toki Rokugo for a minute.
Cool.
Before
by the way, just speaking of Ticket, they're releasing Ticket puppets.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, we talked about that, but yeah.
I'm sorry.
I'm gonna pull up the scan.
When I see that, if that actually happens in the frigging episode.
It will, it's happening. I'm gonna pull up the
wait.
Scan.
Whoa. Mr. Hat's name is Ticket?
Yeah. No, the
puppet.
Mr. Hat. The puppet becomes
Mr. Hat.
Oh, yeah, okay, I see.
Mr. Hyatt.
Mr. Twig.
No, oh, you didn't see the episode where, like, the conductor's trying to, like, stop the train, and he actually pulls ticket off of his
hand. Oh, my God,
and, like,
yeah.
Has to do it. Wait, and then Hikari comes in, sees it, and he's like, I'm not going to pretend I didn't see
it. I'm going to see it.
That's one of the highlights of Tokyuchi.
All I know is that Mr. Garrison is a Power Ranger now. That's all I know from the end of this episode. Mr. Garrison's a Power Ranger now.
A Tokyo change.
No, Mr. Garrison.
Right.
Well, Jesus Christ.
Tokyo change, okay?
That's Mr. Mackey.
No, Mr. Mackey.
Tokyo change, I'm good.
Yeah, and the last thing I want to point out is there was a preview for the movie at the end of the episode, and, you know, I was recently wondering where the fuck Hayden had been. You know, Japanese YouTube singing sensation. He's done a lot of, you know, fan parodies of video game songs with lyrics, and he actually recently broke into doing anime openings and endings. And he hadn't uploaded anything in a while, so I was actually thinking about this recently. And then the preview for the Tokyuger movie came on, featuring Hayden as Lord Nile. What?
Yeah, he's a villain. That's
one of my favorite Japanese singers is playing a villain in the Tokyuja movie. You guys,
I'm fine with that.
That's the only incentive I have thus far to watch it.
I know, right?
No, man, Safari Russia.
Oh boy,
Panda.
Oh my god, that goddamn panda. She was in suit. In the suit.
No,
Super Sentai Panda.
I like that it's a female conductor and she has a puppet that just looks like her, and I'm like, that's so adorable.
Freaking Kagura in the panda outfit.
Yeah, oh my god.
It's like she's henching.
It's like that moment in the Shinkenger movie where, like, they went to this dimension where, like, the Shinkengers were animal themed, and it was like if Rinosuke was the Lord and not Takaru, and so they were all animal theme, and like, do you know, wasn't he like, what, a lion or a bear or something?
I don't know.
I can't remember. But it was funny. So, it's Safari Rush. I'm looking forward to that. That's gonna be cool.
Paul, I hate you.
I know you do.
What?
I love you too.
What?
Just honestly.
it was
a completely stupid joke because when you said that there was a female first Mr. Hat as well, my first thought was Kate Monster from Avenue Q, and then I thought, oh god, don't make that joke, don't make Avenue Tokyo.
You've done it!
Paul, you're
hashtag
all this
Ichipun.
Hashtag Ichipun.
Hashtag Ichipun.
Damn it.
As much of a hashtag as I can do in a video.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the second ever Cast Ranger CD, Avenue Tokyo.
I'll direct the stage performance.
The soundtrack of Avenue Q redone for Tokyuger.
Entirely in Japanese.
By the
interpreted by white people.
A quick comment of mine on the Safari Resha bullshit. I like how there's both a lion Resha and a cat Resha.
So everyone's gonna sound like Christmas Eve.
Yes.
It's because they have to have a couple badass animals and then a couple cutesy animals.
Lion sure. And cat.
Lion's badass. Cat's cute. Crocodile's badass. Panda's cute.
What is the bird?
The badass. Word. Birds are genuinely badass.
Okay.
It's also the word.
I'm still looking for that fucking ticket Tokyo Roku goes.
Okay, are you done?
Yeah, that's pretty much my stuff for Tokyuger.
Cool. Paul.
Okay, so since this is my very first episode of Tokyuger and I have absolutely no context on any of the characters and stuff like that, I really don't feel comfortable talking about each one in detail, but I will say that in this episode, I found that this episode wasn't representative of a show that is as terrible as I thought it was going to be, and so I have a newfound zeal, as it were, to actually go back and watch this show. So I've been getting over like a stomach bug recently, but once I'm done, I'm gonna watch me some Tokyuger, and I'm probably going to enjoy it a lot more than I thought I was going to. It does look like a rather silly show. It is a kid's show, after all, and so there are going to be times when I'm probably going to think a little bit too much into things a bit. But on the whole, it looks like a show that I could actually get into a lot more easily than I thought that I would. The episode was fun. I like the Megazord that they put in. I don't know what it's called because I don't watch the show.
Tokyo.
Okay, yeah. That's a super form. I think it was pretty cool. What I found a little hokey was, oh, for a little while, this monster that we've fought and beaten before is going to beat the crap out of our current strongest sword, and we're going to rely on the person who just got back their imagination to give us that extra boost we need. And I'm just like, yeah, that's a little bit heavy-handed, guys. Like, you could have shown a few scenes of just, like, them being like, yeah, we believe in you. We, like, just them, like, imagining different ways in their head of Tokyo, of Chotokyo, doing things and just having it mirrored in real life. Like, that would have been cool. But
I actually liked how the monster used Tokyo's.
Yeah, that was fucking cool.
That Hisatsu attack the monster did, that was literally Tokyo's fucking finishing move.
Yeah.
It was like ding 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 ding, ding.
Exact to the T.
That was cool. I saw them like,
how'd you do that? That's interesting. That is interesting. But yeah, on the whole, like, it seems like a fun show. It seems a little bit heavy-handed at times. In terms of just the whole, oh, imagination is great, imagination. But, by next week I should be caught up. And in terms of this episode and just the appetite whetter for this sort of thing, it was fine. I was okay with it, just sort of with a fresh eye. I don't know a lot of the context, so some of the things that may have offended everyone else didn't really offend me quite so impactfully. But it got me wanting to watch it more, so yeah, that's me.
Yay.
Okay, Kevin.
Well, I don't really have much to add, but I mean, this week's pretty rough because it's like, I miss Takatora, I miss Lord Zedd, I miss Tyrion Lannister. I get like no resolution this week. It's all wait till next week to see what happens. It's nonsense.
Yeah, we have a fucking break this week because of golf. Not the World Cup!
Yeah.
Golf!
They're doing the golf again, so we have to wait another week for
next episode. Japan does love golf.
Does this mean we get fan art of a golf Loxene?
Yes.
You know, like the first year where we got fucking an art of Kiva using a Kiva.
That could be impressive!
Just saying, it's going to be a redesigned orange Loxene.
Probably.
And got.
Because there aren't enough of those!
And we're gonna get fan art of Gaim with the fucking.
White pilt.
Yeah, white fucking.
Dippledarma.
Yeah, exactly. It's literally just Gaim orange arms, except it's white.
I'm sure someone could shop that.
It's like golf ball for.
Everyone with Photoshop, go and do it!
And post it in the comments below.
Golf arms.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm Tiger Woods!
Whee!
Tiger Woods, yo!
We did it.
Yep.
God,
we imagined the golf lock scene.
Alright. Gaim, the more interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, anything else?
No, that's it.
All right. So, actually, a few things that you guys didn't really mention. First off, my favorite part in this entire episode was just... Cogger's like, I need the other guys to do it. Imagine yourself with a fucking fan that just says, snap out of it, and literally just fucking smacks them each on the fucking head.
Spawns
with
a fucking hot... She somehow spawns a magical clone of herself, yeah. and just bitch slaps them with a Harrison.
Yeah, with a fan that just says snap out of it, and then they're just like.
It probably actually says like Ikagen Shinasai, something
yeah.
like that.
And also she summoned a giant fan from the bazooka, which is right now my favorite one that they've done so far, because it's bitch slap with a fan. It says million hits, but obviously it's not a million hits, but
like
you know.
A million? That seems a little excessive. Ow, come on.
The attack would have hit him a million times. He just died before a million.
But you know what? It seems you guys don't like the episodes that when they're mainly Kagura focused, because like the Kendama episode 7, Kagura focused.
True.
The only Cogger focused episode that you guys liked was Dick Coffin punching out of the coffin. Because that was a Cogger focused episode.
Could you even call that Cogger focused?
It was, because she kind of left the train and then she was like, oh no, I gotta get back somehow. Character development.
Yeah, but let's get some context up in here. What's more important and what's more clearly the focus? Her character development or it busting out of a box with Dick?
True. Another thing which I thought was kind of stupid, that she saw, like, the chick, Allie, whatever, saw Cogger and Takati and was like, you kidnapped my brother!
Oh my god, people in...
Why would a fucking pink person dressed up in pink, you think that they would kidnap your brother?
Lane, just look at it this way. She was looking for what happened to her brother. Randomly people in full helmets and spandex.
I would...
Pervert!
She's a monster.
Pervert! They probably have an unmarked white van somewhere and they're loading kids into it.
But she probably would have saw the monsters too. So
Creeper-isha!
And then all the time, at that point in time, when she showed up, all the other rangers and the crows had loaded into the Griner.
Mm-hmm.
All she could see was the two of them.
Unmarked white van.
That's the Zord.
Load him on a train.
I liked seeing Cogger.
There's Zordon as John Waters.
I liked Cogger doing some fighting, too. Like, she kind of soloed, like, fought Schwartz on her own for a little bit.
Tried to.
Didn't prevail.
Didn't go so well.
But she did fight off a couple crows, which was cool.
And to be expected.
Cogra, like, Light is my favorite character in this entire show, but Cogra's very close second. Like, she's awesome.
I'm
cute. Okay, so yeah, overall, it was a cool episode. I liked it. Alright, so now we're gonna go into our topic discussion, which is about...
My days.
So, this was actually a future topic that we, as you can tell from the audio at the meeting, you know, kind of came up with as we were sitting down waiting
about.
So we're going
to
be debating about what's actually Oz's super form, Oz.
Before we start the discussion, I want to give a brief summary of, you know, the two candidates, because, you know, election. So, in the red corner, we have Kamen Rider Oz Tajidoru combo. The culmination of the three red bird medals, Taka, Kujaku, and Condor.
Yep. Condol.
It's Condor. Fuck you. In the purple corner, we have Puto Tira combo, the dinosaur combo consisting of a pterodactyl, a triceratops, and a tyrannosaur. Now, the fact stands that Puto Tira did come afterwards and was notably more powerful. What my argument for Tajidor not being the super form is, when the series started, we knew he had five combos. Tajidor just happens to be the strongest of them and the most plot relevant. Mm-hmm. I understand that Puto Tira could also be classified as the Fang Joker of the series, the nodding to double, because they are both Berserker Rider forms.
Mm-hmm.
However, Puto Tira was the form he used consistently throughout the latter third or so of the series, which is what super forms tend to do. And that's why I think Puto Tira is the super form. Feel free to counterpoint.
If I may. Or are we going to go in order?
Kevin talk, because he's the most strongly opinionated about this.
Like
song.
I said, I said it didn't matter. Well, I mean, it might matter to someone, but I don't think it matters just how much more usage that got out of it, because the only reason Puto Tira got a lot of exposure was because it had a pretty heavy plot behind it. In the whole him turning into a
greed
thing. Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't unheard of that we knew we were going to see a lot of his corrupted state. But that being said, I still think it's to say that because it's like you say, the whole Fang Joker foil, it's like Tajidol is his most level-headed. I say level-headed because we've seen what happens when he goes through the Tira.
It's the strongest form he's got while in full control.
And exactly. Thank you. That just, even in the final battle, used Tajidol's inherent ability to use the power of the Puto Tira medals to deliver the final blow to end boss.
Yeah.
So that's why I just feel like, if you're gonna fight Last Stand, you use your best weapon for that fight.
But the point was, final boss was made out of his real super form.
If plan A is not available, plan B.
Yeah. Oh, He was unable to use the Futo Terra. He didn't have the Futo Terra medals when
that was a the chips are down. My best form has been taken from me, and somebody is using that power to create a big thing in the sky.
Then how did he get the medals back?
He did actually use the purple medals in the Taja spin.
That's what I'm saying.
Probably just didn't have the full combo.
You know what I think it
is? He had all of them!
I think it was his way to throw all... Not necessarily his strongest form, but his strongest attack. Take his strongest base combo and power it up with the medals of his super form. Equals strongest.
I don't know.
Equals strongest attack he can deliver.
To me, it's just a question of, like, I'm just going to use an analogy of, like, the Avengers or something like that. Take a look at the Avengers. You've got on one side, you got the Hulk, and on the other side, you got Iron Man. Iron Man, limited amount of strength, but completely in control. Can beat the crap out of most things. Really, really versatile. Hulk, smash, like smash for days. Puto Tira, smash. Taja Dol, useful for days. Can't control Puto Tira. It's not viable sometimes. So, in terms of the most powerful and most effective weapon that we have, Taja Dol goes. I think that's what qualifies best.
Although we are very much ignoring the whole Super Tatuba thing.
Damn it, you ruined it!
I knew you. Sorry, I knew
you. Fuck you!
Super Street Light's more powerful than Tatuba.
It is the build as the final form.
You ruined everything.
He only gets to use it once, though.
Oh. Not really.
He used it in the Wizards special.
Doesn't that make it non-canon as fuck?
No, the Megamax was canon.
It's hard to tell what Megamax was canon. Well, we know, I think Super Tatuba is a thing because in a later thing where Decade summoned all the riders in their final form, Super Tatuba was present.
Was it?
Yeah. Just like Cho Climax.
He did use Puto Terra, though, like, in the previous fight. Yeah. So.
Guys, can we just time out for a second?
Okay, cut this part out.
Okay. So for the very end of this thing, after we finish this discussion, I just want to have a little bit of an awkward silence, after which I will respond, "Oh, no, wait, Tamashii exists! Answer solved! Like, question answered. All of it done."
What about Border Kawaii?
I was just about to say that.
Tamashii. Kamehameha.
Sure.
It's the Goku of writing. It's the Kamehameha Hadouken.
What about Tamashii? And I'll just go, "Fuck!" And the episode ends.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so
Kamehameha Hadouken.
Alright.
Raven, what do you think?
Oh, as much as I do like the design of... Yeah, no.
Lane is currently shoving like everybody, the figure in Raven's face.
Everybody who knows me when this was coming out knows I really like the design of Taja Dol.
Oh, God, it's
beautiful!
There's no question that it's the most beautiful form. It is
hands down my favorite O's form. It really is.
Second favorite. Like,
I'm not even a fan of the color red, but even I think that's fucking gorgeous.
Yeah. It's like, even when it was Eric, no, that was my favorite. Just hands down.
The question here is, what do you think is the super form?
Yes, but as much as I do like Taja Dol, I kind of have to agree with Ichi on this one. I do think it's Puto Terra. Because as far as I'm concerned, that was the be-all, end-all. This is the strongest thing I've got. Even if I can't control it, I have to use it for.
Yeah. Okay, well, for my own personal preference... And I'm just going to quickly bring this thing. You know, like, when Kugami had the King's original medals that he, like, gave him because he lost Tatuba?
Yeah.
I honestly think that should have been Super Tatuba. That should have been the true form of the King.
That's what I was hoping
for. That would have been cool. But anyways, like, if it is proven Super Tatuba is non-canon, that's fine. I'll accept that. But I think it's canon. But if I had to choose... It probably, as much as I do love Taja Dol, Puto Terra probably is the super form. Sorry, Kevin, but...
I agree on that, too, because as far as I'm concerned, it's like...
It's a free country, you can vote for whichever candidate, form.
Also, I like to see Taja Dol try to pull an unlimited amount of cell medals into that fucking waffle maker of his when, you know... Puto Terra did that with the Metaga Ryu.
Oh yeah, that was awesome.
That was fucking awesome.
But like I was saying before, it really is the be-all, end-all. Strongest thing I've got, and there was a lot of moments where he was just like, I shouldn't use this form anymore. It's really screwing me over in the long run. But I have to, because it's the only way I'm going to be able to beat these things. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of that. in the latter part of the series.
It's like a final form with plot.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, kind of like King Blade.
And really, the only reason that the final boss got taken on in Tajadoru was because he, at the beginning of that fight, he didn't have Putotira available to him.
Yeah.
I think
it was more of the plot drama of, you know, the Taka metal is broken, but I'll use it anyway.
But, yeah. And also the fact that he didn't use Tajadol too much because every time he did, he literally fucking lost consciousness. Like, he'd pass out from just exhaustion
versus Puto Kira, where it was just every like, other oh combo, God, I'm
every
people.
Other full combo he used, he did, like, go like, ugh, and he'd be, like, a little tired. But Tajadol exhausted him.
Even though there were some points at the during the series where Anka was like, hey, you did two full combos and you're still standing, and so you're getting stronger.
Oh, yeah.
But then Tajadol just takes it out of him.
Takes the all out of him, yeah.
Yeah, and then Putotira is, like, on, like, Eiji on crack.
That's just the first time just the metals come out, just block the fucking attack.
Yeah, that was
like,
awesome.
That's cool.
I've watched that clip at least 20 times.
And then scans the belt for him. Just...
like, I'm just going to go on autopilot over here. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping he would fucking beat the shit. Well, he did beat the shit out of Birth. That was awesome.
Yeah. And then used Birth in the Wonderful Movie.
Oh, that was fantastic. Anyways, so it seems Putotira wins.
Yeah, we got a 3-2 vote going here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Anyways, so that's pretty much the show. So thanks again for listening. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and our Podbean website, and post a comment, tweet at us, all those fun things you can do. Thanks for listening to our very special election day special, I guess we can call this, because it was a vote.
No, wait, Tomashi. Fuck! Tomashi! Oh, did you find it?
Okay, so this part I want to cut out because we can't show it. So whoever's editing, cut out this part from the speech I'm finding. But I found the scan of Ticket Tokyo Rokugo.
Oh my god. I want a puppet of that!
He's got his head thing!
Can we release the puppet of that too?
Jesus.
Mr. Hyatt's a Power Ranger!
Yeah, he is! The first puppet Power Ranger!
Jesus!
Mr. Hyatt, I'm so proud!
Okay, you know what? No. Don't cut this part out. Just put it at the end of the episode. Please and thank you.
Mr. Hyatt's Power Ranger!
Hodor?
What?
Hodor.
I think that reference is weird.
Game of Thrones.
We're talking about God, Game of Thrones!
Alright, other than that...
Wait, yeah. Wait. Okay, cut.